Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. Of course, if you live close by, you're welcome to attend in person worship, which takes place Sundays at 9:30. It is midsummer with the pandemic raising its ugly head. Keep praying for the sick and pray for the helpers. We have an affirmation of faith, which we repeat each time that we gather, this one from Ephesians in the second chapter. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34. This is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Christians are anxious. We are suffering from a large portion of anxiety. Do I need to try and prove this to you? I don't know that I have to bring a lot of evidence that Americans, including American Christians, are anxious. And in addition to that, as Christians, we seem to tell ourselves we shouldn't have these afflictions. And if we do, it somehow means we lack faith. I'm not going there today because it isn't true. Mental health issues like anxiety are diagnosable and treatable, and they often have almost nothing to do with faith. As I mentioned, Kevin Hines, several times, was a man of faith, and he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived. He had faith before he jumped, and he had even more faith after he survived the jump. But he would be hospitalized for mental problems several times after Kevin Hines' suicide attempt. Very few people survive that jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. 98% of people who jump there die. But why would a man of faith make that jump? Sometimes it's our brains. Not everyone has the same amount of the right chemicals flowing across the channels in their brain. And if you don't, or at some point in your life you don't, you're going to need medical and mental help. Lots of folks don't know that, so they don't try and get help. Some people do what we call self-medication, alcohol, drugs, including meth. You realize that in the U.S., there were more meth overdose deaths since the pandemic began. Those are a form of suicide, or at least they are in the same category as suicide. They are called deaths by despair. It's a self-destructive behavior that continues until death stops the behavior. The person indulging in self-destructive behavior does not seem to care that death could be the result, or denies that death will be the result of their self-destructive behavior. There was an anti-drug initiative in the 1980s called the Chemical People, which is a great title because, really, we are all chemical people. Some folks are in balance, and some are not. I take vitamins every day. Why? I'm trying to keep my chemicals in balance. Anxiety for some folks might be chemical. For others, it's what I call a gate stuck open. For example, high blood pressure, which almost everyone suffers from, high blood pressure has something to do with what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which is a fight or flight response system. High stress kicks our bodies into fight or flight. When the excitement dies down, the system calms down. Unless your high stress continues or your fight or flight system gets stuck in the open position. New high blood pressure medications will aim at calming down our sympathetic nervous system. The same is true with anxiety. When there is danger or danger sensed, anxiety is a part of the tools to motivate us or to move or change. And when the moment passes, anxiety goes away, unless it doesn't go away. The positive way to talk about anxiety is that people who suffer from debilitating anxiety are people who care. The problem is that those people care about everything, and they can't decide which thing to focus on to deal with. An anxious person hosting a party can be anxious about who gets invited, who actually shows up for the party, what each person will think about each of the details of the party, the food and or the house and or the host and or the clothing and or the napkins and or the beverages and or every conversation that is going to take place between every other person at the party. And there doesn't seem to be any way to shut that system down. It might take chemicals and or therapy, and or yoga, and or prayer, and or never hosting a party again. Now, this sermon is not intended for all of the poor unfortunates I have just mentioned. This sermon is for the people that Jesus spoke to, everyday people, 2,000 years ago, with everyday concerns. Now, in the 21st century, there are some concerns we simply don't have. Most of us know where our next meal is coming from, and most of us here know where our meals for this week are coming from. Jesus' crowd may not have had that luxury. Or ask a 5-year-old child where his next meal is coming from, and they will likely say the refrigerator, or the freezer, or McDonald's. The child is correct. Our food is readily available. Jesus' crowd wondered if there would be any food, and they wondered if there would be enough food for themselves and each member of the family. The crowd in front of Jesus that day was worried and anxious about the necessities of life. The necessities of life. We continue in some worrying and anxiety only on a portion of the anxiety that they had. Usually in terms of money or income, jobs, which is usually how anyone secures money, health, a health crisis, and how we might pay for that health crisis. Americans have the best medical resources in the world, but getting those resources is really expensive. We then also worry about family members, children especially. Of course, there was a poll taken, a poll that asked what Christians worry about in this country. Now, this poll's 5 years old, but a personal health crisis was at the top of the list. Other concerns included being the victim of a terrorist attack, and half as many more about being the victim of a mass shooting or other random violence. To me, the concern about violence carries over into the concern for family members, not just anxiety about one's own safety, but the safety of everyone in your family. The coronavirus is causing its own anxiety to people who suffer with anxiety. And Jesus was not speaking to people suffering plague. However, I notice that Jesus did often meet with large groups of people out of doors. So when Jesus says, "Don't be anxious, don't worry," is Jesus talking to us? The answer is yes. Yes, Jesus is talking to us, but Jesus has too much compassion for us to simply say, "Stop being anxious." Our Lord Jesus has too much compassion for us to simply say, "Stop being anxious." So let's look at all that Jesus said that day to people who were anxiously awaiting the words that Jesus would say. We might be able to say that ever since the idea of personal possessions and property came along, everyone has been concerned about enough, having enough, sufficiency. Then when humanity learned to use money, no one was sure that they had enough. Do we not know that the richest Americans still work to obtain even more money? So whether a person is rich or poor, they keep their eye on money. Even white-collar criminals who steal money through all sorts of deception. When were they going to steal enough money? They just keep stealing money until they get caught. Like a gambler, win or lose, they keep gambling to win more. Bernie Madoff died in prison last April. He ran the biggest fraud scheme in history. He defrauded thousands of investors out of tens of billions of dollars over the course of 17 years, possibly longer. When was he going to stop? So Jesus observed, money itself, whether you have a little or a lot, cannot give you peace. Jesus' advice, quit looking around, look up instead. Jesus added, "And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Here, Jesus may be considering the lilies, the field flowers. In Israel, the morning dew will refresh the plant life, but by afternoon of summer, the sun will bake the same plants dead. Some flowers last only a few hours of any day. Yet the Lord has provided for them to appear glorious in their flowering. If our God has taken such trouble for a daylily, for just a few hours. What about you? 30 years old, 50 years old, older. Jesus is asking the question, will God not much more clothe you year after year, you of little faith? Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? This is Jesus' first response in verse 25. Jesus' first response to the people's concerns is for them to aim higher, look up. Jesus is saying, you've got bigger fish to fry. Life's more than eating, drinking, clothes. Now, this isn't exactly what hungry people want to hear, is it? But Jesus isn't saying to the crowd that they need to get over themselves, not at all. What Jesus is saying is that old saying, have you heard this? Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. Jesus is telling them they are overly focused on what they have in front of them or what they don't have in front of them. And what is in front of them doesn't seem to be enough. Jesus is teaching this here in verse 25 of chapter 6, but back in verse 9, where Jesus teaches them to pray, verse 11, he taught them to pray, give us today our daily bread, not our weekly ration, not a month of meal planning, daily bread. To the people whom the Pharisees couldn't care about, Jesus has told them, God cares about you, and you can pray to God about this. These people whom the Pharisees couldn't care about, Jesus has told them, God cares about you, and you can pray to God about this. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father. The phrase, your heavenly Father or your Father, meaning your heavenly Father, is in the gospel books at least 30 times. Do you think these people ever heard that from the Pharisees? No. Your heavenly Father feeds the birds. And Jesus doesn't leave it there. Jesus adds, are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable to your heavenly Father than the birds? Well, are you? Jesus' crowd that day may never have heard that from the Pharisees. Christians in the 21st century just so often forget what those same Pharisees never taught. Jesus' own words, are you not much more valuable to your heavenly Father than the birds? Jesus calls the crowd to focus on their relationship with God. Jesus calls the crowd to focus on your relationship with God, your heavenly Father. And then Jesus adds the kicker. What you've been doing by worrying can't help you. Jesus is using a line from Dr. Phil. All that worry? How's that going for you? How's that working for you? Can any one of you, by worrying, Jesus said, add a single hour to your life? Jesus is using a line from Dr. Phil. All that worry, how's that working for you? Prayer can help. And remembering that you have a heavenly Father better than any earthly father, maybe you should talk with Him. You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, Jesus said. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows your concerns before you share them with Him. That's how valuable you are to your God, your heavenly Father. Now, I've told many people this. Many people have told me they don't have time for worship. I tell them, if you will spend an hour in worship, you will find that you have more time available. I've told many people this. Many people told me they don't have time for worship. I tell them, if you will spend an hour in worship, you will find that you have more time available. Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I want us to notice that Jesus didn't say simply, stop worrying, which is what I thought I heard as a child. Jesus also did not say, it will all be all right. Those aren't Jesus' words. Jesus also did not really say that God will take care of everything. Remember when the angels broke the disciples out of jail? Well, you know, first of all, they were put in jail. The Lord did not prevent that. The disciples had to put their own shoes on when the angel broke them out of jail. And they were sent back out to do what got them put in jail in the first place, standing in the temple courts, declaring people this new life. Clearly, in kingdom thinking, getting put in jail is the least of your worries. Growing up, I heard the phrase, don't be anxious, as an absolute, as in you have nothing to be anxious about. Well, that didn't make any sense to me, since my third grade teacher seemed anxious about the possibility of a nuclear holocaust, telling us third graders that we need to get our families to build our own bomb shelters. As an adult, I look back on my third grade life. I believe my teacher was responding to the Cuban Missile Crisis because she said it in October 1962. And I have to confess that it seemed all the Christians in my hometown were anxious about the godless communists. The godless communists wanted to take over, and they had even infiltrated the highest levels of our American government. That's what I learned from the McCarthy hearings, and the McCarthy hearings were over before I was born. You may recall that Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin stated in a speech that the U.S. was engaged in a battle between communistic atheism and Christianity. Everyone in my hometown was alerted, and everyone in my hometown was a Christian. I knew that everyone was a Christian in my hometown because to think otherwise was impolite. It was impolite in my town to think that anyone in town was not a Christian. Still, I did not understand as a child as I walked to church on Sunday morning. Our church was two blocks away. I didn't understand what church some other kids went to because they were not getting ready for Sunday school and church like me. As you can understand, as a child, my life in my hometown was full of many mysteries. Since that time, I learned more about communism, more about McCarthy, more about the Ku Klux Klan, school desegregation. By the way, desegregation didn't go over too well in my town either, everyone being a Christian notwithstanding. Another mystery for young Garrett. I've read that some people had carefree childhoods. I did not. So I get to church and I hear Jesus' words, don't be anxious. As a 9-year-old, should I believe that Senator McCarthy would root out all communists from our highest levels of government? Should I believe that America was leading the space race? Should I believe that our country did have more and better nuclear weapons than the godless communists and therefore don't worry? Even if my family didn't build us a bomb shelter? Well, I remember I did hear a commercial when I was young that said, sleep soundly, your National Guard is awake. And I thought, good, someone's watching the store. It was pretty hard for 9-year-old Gary to do kingdom thinking. I can't be certain that lots of Christians in my hometown were able to do kingdom thinking. But any one of them might have reminded me that I could pray about every one of my childhood fears. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Talk to Him. Jesus' words to the crowd 2,000 years ago. Jesus' words later reflected in the letters of the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Which is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need.